You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
I don't even have the energy to do like a funny intro about this. A, because I'm super duper white and I feel like that would invalidate a lot of the beautiful themes and pieces of expression that this series has going on, but also because I'm so excited that this is a thing and that this is the thing that we get to talk about. So I'm not gonna waffle around, we're just gonna get into it. So we are here to review the first season of the Starz original series Blindspotting, based off of the series of the same, based off of the movie of the same name. The 2018 film written by, produced by, and starring David Diggs and Rafael Casal. That is, for my money at least, one of my favorite movies of all time, and quite possibly the best American film of the past 10 years. So my name is Davey, and with me is Melina.
Hello.
And Bradley.
Hello.
I wrote Bradley into doing this, and he wrote Melina into doing this, so ha 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 ha, now I get to talk about this.
Total me-seek situation.
So if you're unfamiliar with the original film, it stars, as previously mentioned, David Diggs and Rafael Casal as Colin and Miles, two lifelong best friends who are going through a bit of a tiff as one of them, Colin, is on probation from prison. It's a extremely powerful, beautiful film that I highly recommend all of you watch if you haven't seen it. The series, which is a spin-off sequel to that original film, follows Miles' girlfriend, Ashley, sorry, played by the extremely talented Jasmine Cephas Jones. On New Year's Eve, Colin has moved away and Miles is being thrown into the back of a cop car. He is going to jail, the cops raided, and they found drugs, and Ashley and their very young son, Sean, are displaced and forced to move in with Miles' mother, played by Helen Hunt, and Trish is a sister, played by Jalen Barron. Also in the cast is Janelle Collins' sister, who had recently returned from overseas, played by Candace Nicholas Lipman, and Earl, who is currently living in Colin's old room, played by Benjamin Earl Turner. So, 8 episodes, about 30 minutes a pop, this comedy drama, similar to the film, it's very expressive and has a lot of moments that are detached from reality to showcase the lyricism and the music and the dance and movement of a lot of super talented artists in the Oakland Bay area where this universe lives in. So that's more than enough for me. What did we think of Blindspotting?
Okay, well, I'm just going to throw myself on the train tracks real quick and admit that I am that ignorant person who has not seen the original 2018 movie, but I'm actually not going to beat myself up too much about it because after watching this, I am really dying to go and give it a shot finally. And as we were talking about prior to recording, Davey, you were like, you know what? It's good because you get to now go watch it for the first time, which is an incredibly good feeling. So I'm just going to carry that and really pray that people don't mentally throw stuff at me.
People won't throw stuff at you because it's while it's generally very well liked, it is by no means regarded as highly culturally as I think it should be. I think it should be taught in schools, quite frankly. I think it is a near-perfect film in every way. So you're still on the early end of people realizing what a masterpiece of a movie it is. So I wouldn't beat yourself up too bad about that.
And hopefully this series helps people to discover what that film is. Because despite the fact that I've not seen it, I do know a lot about it. And it was one of those that was kind of criminally flew under the radar when it was first released. Not just because it didn't get a lot of award. What's the word I'm looking for? We'll
like
edit
award
this later.
Recognition?
It didn't get a lot of award recognition like I think they were hoping it would. And apparently, if I remember correctly, almost no critics got advanced screeners. And it was like in and out of theater so fast that it's like if you missed it, it's like then you had to wait for it to come out in whatever form.
Yeah, the word of mouth
marketing
didn't
of dirt
really
comedy
build up
is pretty hard too.
Until then, because it ran the festival circuit, and so that's where a lot of its word of mouth was. But outside of like the film festival, film nerd community, it really didn't get a lot of love until it came out on DVD. That's when I started seeing more and more people finally giving it a shot. So yeah, I do think that this show will get more people to go back to it because you really need zero knowledge of the movie to enjoy this show. It is wholly about Ashley and Sean. It is not about, it's barely about Miles. Colin is not in this show. He's mentioned, but he doesn't appear at least for this season.
Yeah. He's a voice on a phone and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you haven't seen the movie, I wouldn't worry about wondering if you're okay to start the show. I mean, the movie is like less than 100 minutes. It's not a terribly long commitment, but I really do hope that people give this a shot that aren't as familiar with the movie, because it is, not only is it a wholly different thing, it's tackling so many different ideas and its scope is so much larger than the movie just because it has more time. And this is a show and this is a world built by extremely hungry creatives that do not want to retread any ground. They're like, all right, the first movie about police and race and gentrification and toxic masculinity, what's the core of the TV show going to be? How it sucks to be a working woman in modern America. Boom. Yeah, we're doing yeah. something different. But it all feels, because it's all so connected and it all believes in the power of these issues not being separate and not being segmented. Someone stop me. I will just talk about this thing forever.
I was like, yeah, you clearly are a marginal fan of the original source material.
Yeah, it's fine. It's whatever. It's like a 6 out of 10.
But I'll get off this point about me not having seen the movie because I don't want to keep crucifying myself here. But I will say, as somebody who has not seen the movie, it did not in any way hurt my feelings toward this when I watched it. And I'm like, if you are someone like me who has not seen the original, then while you absolutely should, including me, you don't need to in order for this to work completely in and of itself.
You're probably better off in certain ways because I have seen the original film and I see everything W. Diggs is in. So every episode I was kind of like, when's Colin showing up? And then I would have to rewatch the episode again without that thought clouding my viewership experience. And they really were a lot better episodes the second time. So there are some advantages to not have seen the movie.
Yeah, and they're all 30 minutes long, so I'm like, if you're watching this and you're like, God, I just cannot jump into another TV show right now, it's only 8 episodes, like we've said, and they're all, like, barely coming in at, like, 30 minutes long. I think maybe even less than that. And I will admit, I binged this, and it was pretty easy, not just because of the length, but because as soon as one episode would end, I was like, oh my God, I am so excited, let's get to the next one, hurry up, hurry up. Like, it could not buffer quick enough.
Yeah, this is a very quick watch. I also binged it just because that's how I kind of like to watch TV nowadays. Yeah. But I will say, much like the film, it's being marketed as a dramedy. And while that is true, it is not going to be what most people can think of when they think of a dramedy. There are not a lot of jokes. It is quite funny, and it is quite fun. It is also extremely serious and extremely unafraid to tackle a myriad of very real things and put you as a viewer in uncomfortable situations with the characters. I saw some like IMDb reviews. I'm sure some of them weren't from the most open-minded folk in the world. as usually tends to happen with shows with leads that are not people that look like me or Brad. But white dudes for the win.
Oh God. White boy summer indeed.
Yeah. Yeah. Every night I go to bed and I pray to Chet Hanks.
I grew up in California. I've been on the BART train. It's
called that. But yeah, but there were a lot of reviews of people who were like, this isn't funny at all. And I'm like, I mean, it's kind of not. It's kind of very, very real. And while it's easy to watch, extremely easy to watch, I would say, I wouldn't call it necessarily an easy watch. I wouldn't say it's terribly upsetting or like grueling to get through. But this is not Brooklyn Nine-Nine. This is not Parks and Rec. This is a show with a lot of ideas that are very front and center and does not have time for things like coddling the viewer. So I'm just going to put that out there for people that are wanting to start this show, but maybe need to know a little bit what they're getting into if you couldn't tell from the premise alone.
Yeah, and I also saw some of those IMDb reviews because I was a little freaked out when I went online and I saw that IMDb's rating, I think, is sitting at 5.9 right now.
It's so low.
It's very low, and that's because most people gave it quite glowing reviews, to be fair. But the people who didn't like it, they were like, oh God, I mean, I'm giving this one star because I can't give it any lower. And I did look at those, and I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I was like... Yeah, first of all, if you're going in here looking for something like Brooklyn Nine-Nine or Parks and Rec, like you said, then I'm sorry, that's on you, because it's not trying to be that in any way, shape, or form. And while you were saying, and I actually would say that while most of this, I would compare to Tarantino dialogue in terms of humor, where it's not jokes with a bunch of punchlines, it's just very quippy and very clever, very smart alecky in a lot of ways, which I love. I love humor like that, especially because it's ongoing and then it doesn't stop to wait for the laugh, it just goes on. I would say that the only parts, the only jokes in here or the only humor that didn't work was when they tried to do a joke with a punchline. And I don't know if I'm not going to say what it is, but there's a few moments in the final episode where it just went pure slapstick. And I was like, I see what you're doing, but the physical comedy here is not very good. And it's not, it's just not all that well performed. but those are so far and few between. But I'm sure that those individuals who were not fans of the humor in this, I'm sure that that's probably the only thing they laughed at.
Yeah, no. Although I will say there is a joke in here about Paddington 2 that's like an episode long setup for an incredibly great punchline.
That was great.
Just little things like that that just fill the show with so much life and energy that constantly keep it going. Where it is something that you have to watch the next one immediately. I almost think this is a show that is better binged than watched episodically. I think this might have been one that would have been better on a Netflix or an Amazon, quite frankly.
Sure.
Well, that character reminded me a lot of you as well, Davey, Benjamin Earl Turner playing Earl. How the grandmother, there's a sequence in which she's worried that her grandchild isn't watching enough black cinema. So she starts giving examples, and then Davey, whose character is Earl, who is played by Benjamin Earl Turner, is like, well, actually, those are all white filmmakers from White Minds. And what an interesting thought. I thought all the observational humor from that character was 100% spot on, and I laughed every time pretty loudly, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's such a great, I think that sequence, or like it's a collection of sequences throughout the course of that episode that I loved every time they went back to it, because the dialogue is so snappy and so smart. I mean, David Diggs and, I'm sorry, I'm just going to make sure I pronounce his name right, Rafael Casal, who, they make like little cameos in here, but or not really cameos. I would say David Diggs makes a cameo and Casal He's not, he has a small role, but he's a supporting player. People have called him a guest player, and I'm like, nah, he's supporting. He definitely has a role. No. But it's like, I think they show with this that, you know, with something like the film, with the Blindspotting movie, you know, which I understand is actually a lot darker than this chooses to be in most parts of it.
Kind of. It is and isn't. It is.
Right.
It rides that line in the same way where it's very heavy and also extremely silly and very character driven. So
right.
Kind of.
And I would say that this is as well. I don't think that the theme it's going or the issue it's tackling is as hot button as the one that the film explored, which is, you know, pretty police brutality. But watching this, I'm like, these two, I hope they write a lot more films, and I hope that they're involved a lot more in TV writing, because they clearly know how to write very nuanced stories that are all over the map. Like, this is, like you said, very much about parenting and motherhood and a sense of community. And all the sequences with them sitting there talking about what is the Black experience? You know, just do any two people have the same idea? And I'm like, that's such a great conversation to be an observer to, even more so when it's as funny and just really sharply written as it is.
I think it pushes a lot of hot topics very quickly. Mm-hmm. Like when the mother, Ashley, goes to the library and is like, I have to tell my son his dad's incarcerated. Do you have any books about that? And the bookstore person, I've had these conversations, guys, like, oh, of course we do. We have like 15 books about that. Daddy not coming home. Why is daddy in jail? Behind bars party. And then when she says, any about white dads? And the bookstore lady's like, I don't know. Like, isn't that fucked up, you guys? I thought that was hilarious.
We have one where they're rabbits. I recommend you go with the rabbits.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is such a great punchline, but also you're like, oh, wow, that's such a disturbing revelation.
Yeah, and there's a monologue about parole. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. There's a monologue about love, because I think a lot of self-righteous people will be like, well, wait a second, Miles and Ashley, they got what they deserve, so fuck them. And according to the IMDb reviews, which I'm finding out right now from you two, I guess a lot of hearts weren't changed based on this beautiful writing, dancing, as we said, the dancing during monologues, and just the expression of love in this is incredible. So I am kind of bummed that a lot of people still hate it.
I did want to ask you guys what you thought about the dance numbers and the freestyle, which I know in the movie, I think they did that one time and it was sort of the climactic moment. And this one, I think they do it pretty much throughout.
It's the climactic moment in the film, but it's warmed up. So there are a lot of moments in the movie of Colin and Miles kind of almost rehearsing it or just like mm-hmm. bantering it off of each other. So they get that, they build that language. And there's also a fantastic dream sequence that also is in verse. So it kind of builds to it. In this show, it's much more like opening episode. It's like, we are going into Flights of Fancy. We are writing this basically like an old drama where people will look at the camera and give a soliloquy. And you are either on board or you're not.
Mm-hmm. I was on board 100% with all of it. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah. I will say that when you opened this review talking about how you liked that they did that because it was a, kind of a manifestation of apparently the culture of Oakland, especially like, apparently it's like you have a lot of musicians that have come out of there and it's very much, and like the music is very much something that is integral. Not really knowing that, I didn't quite know how I felt about that aspect of it when they first started, because maybe just because I wasn't expecting it to be there and it felt strange at first when they would do that.
Yeah.
At least for me, but it wasn't bad. Like there was never a part where I was like, oh, this is awful freestyle or these musical numbers or these dance numbers. They're bad. Why are they even here? I felt
it was fucking weird.
Yeah, it is. It is weird. And I don't think there was ever a point where it wasn't. But I sat there and I kind of germinated on it. And I was like, well, yeah, it's there. But I'm like, does that mean that it's unnecessary? Does that mean that it doesn't work? No, it's just kind of a... I was like, it is something that I don't think is always needed when they do it, but I do appreciate that they just, that they did experiment with that and that they were willing to try it.
Yeah,
and I think for the most part it worked.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you there. I was a little hesitant with, because this show has a much more emphasis on movement and dance than the movie did, because the movie was all about the lyrics and the lyricism of those flights of fancy. So it took me, I kind of had a similar arc of you, where I was trying to get on board with these musical movement pieces that they were doing. And by the end of it, I was super on board. I liked the farther it went along into the show, the lines between the real world and this kind of movement-based or even the more lyrical stuff started to get blurred, and I really like that. There is a fantastic sequence at the end of episode 6 where Ashley is walking through the house with Sean, and there are all these background dancers around them, and it's fantastic. I love that sequence. It's so good.
That was my favorite one, too.
Yeah, because it felt like you understood without having to sit there and ruminate on it. You felt immediately why it was there. I think it was definitely the most organic of all of those sequences. You're like, this kind of accentuates the very uncomfortable dialogue that she is about to have with her son, which their relationship between the two of this, I mean, it is so the heart and soul of it. Loved it so much because, I mean, and Ashley's actress, Jasmine Cephas-Jones, mm-hmm. I mean, she's unquestionably the lead here, despite the fact that it is an ensemble. And I thought that just her facial expressions and her body language, I'm like, that's enough for her to just really confidently carry this. I so felt her dilemma, which is, do I tell my son that his father is not only in jail, but he's going to be there for a little while. And if I do, how do I do it? And am I ready for what that's going to do to him? And that really was something where I'm like, I don't know. I really don't know. No, and
right?
I think one of the great parts of this is that everyone around her, they don't even really know what to do. Some people think they do, and some people are like, well, I think that maybe we should do this. And she's like, nope, I'm the mother. I really have to make this decision. But I don't really know what the right answer to this question is.
Yeah, and there's a very beautiful understanding of where everyone else is coming from. Because the only other person who weighs in on that situation is Rainey, the mother, played by Helen Hunt, who is like, it is my son who is in prison. I have a right to this decision as well. Because this is my grandson asking where my son is. And like, you know what? Yeah. That is, you are the only person who could logistically get away with having an opinion on this. And it's just little moments like that where all the characters are so well-defined and they understand each other, even if they don't necessarily like each other all the time. Yeah. And I just really like it. Brad, you've been a little quiet. How about you ramble on with your beautiful voice for a little bit and then head over into those final thoughts?
All right. Yes, I really enjoyed this as well. I enjoy the crazy things that it brings up, the topics, the type of lifestyles, the cultures that I don't have any of around me. I live in Canada now in a nice small town where everyone says, to say hello to each other from across the street or on the same sidewalk. We're just like, yep, I exist too here. And that's about as big as we get. So it's always cool to go back to where I used to live through these TV shows in California. I mean, I was in a very wealthy part of California. I rarely experienced Oakland, if ever, unless we were going to watch an A's game or some sort of a sporting event. I really like how this kind of attacks the root of what's really going on here. You know, how someone's like, yeah, I see, you know, boys become angry. Those angry boys become angry men, and those angry men become incarcerated. But what's really going on here? and it really strikes at the root of why is everyone perpetuating this violence? To what end? Should someone who committed a crime be incarcerated for that many years when a lot of people who stumbled onto the street and saw, what's he getting arrested for? And if they were told, they'd be like, oh, okay, so what, like $20, $500 fine? What's the issue? And now he'll be a violent, angry criminal if the system works. And then the next episode being about banks. Beautiful.
Oh my God, that scene was so insane.
Yeah, so it's just so, I guess nuanced could be the right word in how it's saying, you know, what is crime? What is violence? And why do all the people writing angry things like, well, Miles deserves it, fuck that guy, how can they write that or feel that way, then look at someone like Miles' kid, Sean, and be like, oh, sorry, this isn't about you, though. It is about him as well, because when your father is taken away, that's going to affect you. And the fact that there's nothing in place right now to deal with that, like, seriously? Seriously, human race? Ashley has to deal with that alone? There's not, like, counseling for this that is offered by the penitentiary? I mean, I've heard John Legend talk about them. These penitentiaries are like billion-dollar markets.
Oh, yeah.
They're raking the money in. Anyways, also, I didn't know that about parole. I learned a lot about parole through this TV show, and I don't like what I learned. That makes me very angry. I yep. thought that kind of thinking went away after Jean Valjean finished his opening number.
Oh, I can only wish.
But I guess I was wrong. So yes, going into my final thoughts, I love all of the expression in this. It probably is a little weird that suddenly someone walking morosely down a dark sidewalk with a sad face is ambushed by a lot of dancers. Me right away, I was like, oh, yay, expression. I love weird expression, especially when it's unexpected. And watching it with someone is probably like, wait, maybe it's just a flash mob. No, this is expression. So I loved all of that. I really drank this in. It was a little short, but kind of at the right amount. If this doesn't get renewed, I'm going to be furious because the cliffhanger is very... Can I get the next episode anyways? Next week, maybe? Please? But no, so who knows? I'll have to wait on that. I think it's another one of the must-viewed shows of the year. So I'm going to go with 8 out of 10 thumbs up for marmalade sandwiches.
Oh my God, I'm just so happy that you didn't take mine. I was so certain someone was going to. I totally second that. Just running right in. I really enjoyed this. I love all the performances in here. I think that all of the characters, despite some of them at the beginning, I think being quite intentionally unlikable in some aspects.
Trish.
Teenage nightmare Trish. But even so, I was like, you know, she's... what is it? Jaylen Barron. She's a 23-year-old actress, and she comes into that role with so much confidence that I'm like, you know what? You may be an irritating-ass teenager who totally deserves a good slap, but I absolutely loved watching her. She was just so engrossing and hilarious. And by the end of it, I had fallen in love with her just as much as I had fallen in love with pretty much everybody in here. I also want to throw kudos I forget the actor's name. I didn't have a chance to write it down. Who's the guy who plays the neighbor who's on parole?
Benjamin Earl Turner, I believe.
Yeah. Benjamin Earl Turner, I would say that he's probably my favorite character in this whole thing. I loved his arc. It was one where I'm like, I think I know where you're going. I just so hope you don't. But yeah, I am going to probably rue the fact that I have not seen the original film, and I'm sure people will be very happy to criticize me for that. I'm sorry, I'm not perfect. But this is absolutely something that if you, like me, have not seen it, this is wonderful. It's beautiful, wonderful writing, and it is definitely going to make you want to go watch the original. So I am going to give this 9 out of 10 hot Cheetos.
Lovely. Yeah, when I was walking into the show, my biggest concern probably was, I don't know if I want to watch a show about people other than the people I already know. I don't know if I want to watch a show that's not about Colin and Miles as well as Ashley. But this, it turns you around. These characters are great, and they all work, it all fits together so well. Diggs and Casale are really good at writing things. They're really good at music and movies and TV, and I'm like, can you stop? You guys, you're doing too much that's good.
if you haven't heard their, for the rest of us.
If you haven't heard their music, they released 2 albums in conjunction with the release of the film, and both those albums are very good. I like them very much. Yeah, characters like Earl and Rainey, and they have so much life in them, and this show at the end of the day is really about how good it is that people can stick together, and how when anything happens to anyone, it happens to us all. That humans are inherently interconnected creatures, and nothing happens in a vacuum. Nothing happens alone. Which I think is a really fantastic way of approaching a show about parenthood and about building a family and trying to find your spot in those hard times and those hard conversations. It's not perfect. And I think a lot of that comes down to this isn't done. And the movie was done. They had their ending. They were complete. This doesn't have that yet. So I'm not going to give it a perfect score. I'm going to wait and see what happens in season 2, because I know that they know exactly what's going to happen. And because of that, I'm going to give this 9 out of 10 cameos from the original film of guys buying boats who now work at a bank.
So are you two going to close it by spitting some bars here, or...
I have not seen the original. I don't want to give people any more reason to hate me.
My name is Davey Peppers, and I'm here to say I hope you all have a wonderful day. What's up?